It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Down power lines, down trees, blown transformers, wires into the streets.
There are neighborhoods now underwater. The biggest concern here was rainfall.
They're also concerned about alligators. They're concerned about snakes.
Once the water came from the Gulf of Mexico down here, it was a river.
You see that section of the Sanibel Causeway just wiped out by Hurricane Ian.
I've seen office buildings, home after home after home, with trees down and debris, boats sunk in the harbor.
Whole towns decimated, completely leveled.
I came here in the mid-70s. I was on the police department for almost 25 years. Saw a lot of storms here. This is by far the worst storm I have ever witnessed.
The scope of the devastation left by Hurricane Ian in Florida is massive, with projections of damage estimates ranging from $30 billion to $50 billion, and the realization it'll take years to rebuild. President Biden's decision to declare a major disaster in Florida will unlock extra federal aid, but right now the main focus is on trying to help those suffering without homes, water, or power. As of Friday morning around 6 a.m., nearly 2 million customers were still without electricity. Hospitals have been evacuated in Lee County. Rescue efforts have already led to the rescue of hundreds of Floridians, with probably hundreds more waiting for help to arrive. The storm was downgraded to a tropical storm as it crossed Florida, but regained hurricane strength Thursday night as it traveled over Atlantic waters, with top winds of 85 miles per hour Friday morning. It's projected to hit Charleston, South Carolina, on Friday as a Category 1 storm. At least 19 people have been reported dead due to the storm so far, with worries that that number could go a lot higher.
I don't have confirmed numbers. I definitely know the fatalities are in the hundreds.
This could be the deadliest hurricane in Florida's history.
So as Florida contends with the widespread damage left behind by Ian in what officials say is likely the largest natural disaster in the state's history, South Carolina is now bracing for today's landfall. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is eagerly taking whatever money President Biden is offering, but we must remember that then-freshman Congressman DeSantis's first vote upon entering Congress in 2013 was a big fat no on a federal bailout for the victims of Superstorm Sandy after it decimated that region. Just reminding you. And DeSantis isn't above stunts as we approach Election Day in 6 weeks. A new gas tax break and other measures will take effect over the weekend, including some aimed at preventing protests outside people's homes and cracking down on so-called street takeovers. Now, although Palm Beach County and parts south on Florida's east coast were mostly spared from Ian's wrath, proverbial dark clouds continue gathering over the former guy's Mar-a-Lago estate. The much-ridiculed judge overseeing Donald Trump's challenge to the FBI seizure of documents from Mar-a-Lago again sided with the former president Thursday in this ongoing showdown with the Justice Department. Yep, U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon issued an order extending the timeline of an outside review that Trump demanded of the documents and other materials until mid-December. No urgency here. And she also overruled an order from the special master, Judge Raymond Deary, declaring that the former guy's lawyer must submit to him in writing by September 30th an accounting of all materials seized from Mar-a-Lago and proof of Donald Trump's claims that the FBI planted some of the documents as they executed the search warrant. What? Well, the Justice Department has already filed an appeal, and again, the 11th Circuit Court will hear it, the same panel that overruled Cannon's last egregious ruling. Just incredible. So, six Republican states filed a lawsuit Thursday to block President Biden from canceling up to $20,000 in student loan debt from millions of borrowers. The suit came 2 days after a conservative attorney in Indiana filed a separate lawsuit asking a court to overturn the policy. To remind you, Biden wanted to cancel up to $10,000 in federal student loans for people earning less than $125,000 a year, with another $10,000 forgiven for recipients of federal Pell Grants. But in response to the lawsuit, the Biden administration scaled back eligibility for its loan forgiveness plan. So about 770,000 borrowers whose federal student loans are guaranteed by the government but held by private lenders will now be excluded from debt relief. Lovely. Just remember, this is courtesy of the Republicans. Just saying. Well, as expected, Russian dictator Vladimir Putin announced during a Kremlin ceremony Friday morning that Russia is formally absorbing four Ukrainian territories in what will be the largest forcible annexation of land in Europe since 1945. This comes after the people in those territories, which make up about 18% of Ukraine, allegedly voted in favor of joining Russia in these Moscow-based so-called referendums that have been widely dismissed by Western leaders as a sham. Russia then went on to vow to defend its claims to the annexed areas and hinted that they'd use nuclear weapons if necessary. In response, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said on Friday that his country is applying, quote, under an accelerated procedure to become a member of NATO. He signed Ukraine's application along with the Speaker of Parliament and Prime Minister of Ukraine, saying, quote, it is here in Ukraine that the values of our Euro-Atlantic community have obtained real vital energy, the strength of the nation that fights for freedom and the strength of nations that help in this fight. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson making history again today as the Supreme Court holds the investiture ceremony for the first Black woman on the bench. The ceremony will include the use of Chief Justice John Marshall's historic bench chair and commission language that dates to the first justice appointed by President George Washington. While the Senate voted 72-25 to pass a bill to keep the government funded until December 16th, the stopgap funding bill includes $12 billion for Ukraine, $1 billion in heating assistance for low-income families, $20 million for the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi, billions in disaster aid, and $112 million for federal court security. The legislation now goes to the House, which is expected to pass it today ahead of the midnight deadline to avert a shutdown, and then Congress goes on recess for another couple of weeks. In fact, the House will be out until after the election, with the Senate returning for a two-week session somewhere before Election Day. By the way, that January 6th committee will not hold a hearing next week, this despite postponing the hearing scheduled for this past Wednesday. But the committee did meet with Ginni Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and a right-wing activist. They met for 4 hours on Thursday, during which time she reiterated her belief that the election was stolen. Yes, we are indeed an opposite world. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.